And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am he. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And I've been looking forward to this show. I really have, because we're going to dispense with all of the issue stuff that we normally deal with. Not that you can't bring it up. You're certainly welcome to do that if you think it's relevant. But I want to really focus today on what we're thankful for. And we do have much to be thankful for. I said I wasn't going to get too much into the issues, but I will add this. You know, if people on the left would express some gratitude and some appreciation and some love, some affection for our country, I could have a lot more respect for them and for their opinions about things. But the fact of the matter is they only seem to express disdain, bitterness, hatred, anger, a complete lack of respect for the country. They laud those who won't stand up for the national anthem and won't salute the flag, and they celebrate the people who want to burn it. If they express some thanksgiving, I think it would make all of us get along better, you know? I think we could have a more rational discussion. But when people come from a position where they seem to hate my country, it is very difficult for me to have any kind of rational policy or philosophical discussion with them, because as far as I am concerned, they are beyond the pale. They are in effect traitors to the country. In spirit, I'm not talking about legal treason, but they're traitors to the country in the sense that they don't like the land that we're living in. They don't like the nation that I love, and I just have a very difficult time relating to people who think that way. I pray for them, don't hate them, but I have a very difficult time relating to them or thinking that there's any hope for any kind of rational discussion with people like that. And we got a lot of that going on in our country right now, unfortunately, and it's all coming from the left. So I'm going to start taking your calls early this time. The number is 888-589-8840. I want to remind you, you're listening to The Awakening. If you just tuned in, I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, here on American Family Radio. And we have close to 200 stations across the nation. But you can listen to us anywhere, at any time, live stream, anywhere you can get the internet. So that means on your cell phone, on your tablet, your iPad, your laptop, your desktop, your PlayStation or whatever these games are, because I don't play them, folks. But whatever they are, my understanding is that they do have access to the internet, and you can listen to them even on those things. How you do that, I don't know. But for those of you who have these games and know about them, I'm sure you know. And if you know people who have them, I'm sure they know how to get to the internet. And that means, well, we are very, very accessible, you know. And don't forget, too, we do have podcasts of all of our programs. I hope this one proves to be a memorable one, frankly. But people can go to the website and they can listen to the podcasts that are archived there for a considerable amount of time. They go up within a couple of hours after the show. And if there's ever a time you say to somebody, you know, you ought to listen to this program, they say, well, what time was it? Oh, it was yesterday at such and such a time. Oh, well, you know what? That doesn't matter. You can go to the website and still listen to it. So don't forget that, folks, because that's a very, very important part of the service we make available to everybody, so that once the program is over, it's not lost. It's still there. Let's see. If you want to follow me, by the way, on Facebook, I'm still there, E.W. Jackson, S.R. Twitter has banned me, but I've started a new Twitter page, Stand Foundation. If you just search Stand Foundation as one word, Stand Foundation, you'll find me. That's my Twitter page, even though you won't see my name and you won't see my picture on there. And let's see, and on Instagram, EWJackson_SR. We just started this a few months ago. Well, maybe a little longer than that, but we haven't really been as active on Instagram. But I'm going to be, because I really want to begin to reach more young people. And my understanding is that's where the young people are. They are on Instagram much more than on Facebook or Twitter these days. Okay? I think that's everything that I need to mention to you right now. So let me be the one to start. So, folks, I want to hear from you today. What are you thankful for? As we get into the Thanksgiving holiday, what are you thankful for? Well, first of all, let me give you a little bit of background, because, you know, I keep hearing people say that Thanksgiving was instituted by Abraham Lincoln. That is not true. Another reason why, in the debate between whether Abraham Lincoln or George Washington is the greatest president, I always come down on the side of George Washington, but I have my reasons. Don't get me wrong. I think that Abraham Lincoln was a great president who steered the country through one of its most dangerous times. There's no question about that. I think that's undeniable. Like other presidents, he wasn't perfect at it either, but I think he did a very, very good job in a very, very difficult situation. And ended up, of course, being enshrined forever as one of the presidents to be assassinated. So there's no question in my mind, at least, that Abraham Lincoln was a great president. But I think George Washington stands above them all. And this is one of the reasons. Now, Thanksgiving became a law in 1863 while Abraham Lincoln was president, and that may be why people associate Thanksgiving with him. But actually, the first president to institute a Thanksgiving holiday was, in fact, George Washington. And that was all the way back in 1789. In fact, he issued a proclamation. It's one of my favorite documents from George Washington's writings. But he issued a proclamation on October 3rd of 1789. And the Thanksgiving was to be celebrated on the 26th of November of that year. But the proclamation said the following: "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor." Wow. Now, what a statement. "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will." Boy, you know, the left must just be going apoplectic to even hear those words. Because the father of our country, George Washington, said that in other words, it is the duty of the United States of America as a nation to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God and to obey his will and to be grateful for his benefits and to humbly implore his protection and favor. You know, to me, that's who we are. That's where we come from, folks. How can anybody deny that? But yet the left tries to deny it. They try to say we're not a Christian nation. We're not a Judeo-Christian nation. Well, we don't have an official religion. Of course we don't. And I don't want us to have an official religion. But culturally, we are a Christian nation. Culturally, we are Judeo-Christian in our philosophy. That's where our values and ideals come from. They don't come from Buddhism. They don't come from Hinduism. They don't come from Zoroastrianism. They don't come from you name it. They don't come from Islam. No, they don't come from Islam. They come from the Bible. And you can rest assured when he mentions Almighty God, he's talking about the Almighty God of the Bible. So I want to share this with you, and then I'm going to share some of my testimony. The number is 888-589-8840. What are you grateful for? What are you thankful for? I want to hear from you. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Thanksgiving is tomorrow, and I suspect that you are doing lots of things to get ready for this special day. Let me suggest you add one more item to your to-do list. Visit our website and download a copy of my Thanksgiving quiz. Thanksgiving is a wonderful time to gather as a family, but I also believe that it can be a great time to teach our children and grandchildren about America's godly heritage. I created this short quiz to be a conversation starter around the Thanksgiving table. You know, we used to go around the table before the meal and ask our children to tell us what they were thankful for. After a few years of hearing about how they were thankful for their cat, their doll, their video games, I knew we needed to do something else. The Thanksgiving quiz was born out of that frustration. It has 19 questions and answers on the Pilgrims and the Mayflower Compact, as well as some questions and answers about the Christian heritage of America. Who were the Pilgrims, and why did they leave Europe for America? Why did they celebrate Thanksgiving? What is the Mayflower Compact, and why is it significant? What lessons did the Pilgrims learn about work and even free enterprise? How did the Christian faith influence America? These are just a few of the sort of questions that you can ask around the table and give short answers. Perhaps it is time to recapture the importance of Thanksgiving. On the bicentennial celebration of the landing of the Pilgrims at Plymouth Rock, Daniel Webster declared the following: "Let us not forget the religious character of our origin. Our fathers were brought hither by their high veneration for the Christian religion. They journeyed by its light and labored in its hope, and they sought to incorporate its principles with the elements of their society and diffuse its influence through all their institutions, civil, political, or literary." It is my hope that this quiz will help your family see the importance of Thanksgiving. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. For most, today is filled with anticipation and joy, thinking about what the day will hold. Hopefully, you'll be thanking God for all your blessings. However, someone you know may have difficulty being thankful because life is hard. They may be hurting due to the death of a loved one or a miscarriage, a lost job or other misfortune. Maybe a member of their family is in harm's way serving in the military. Celebrate Thanksgiving. Celebrate your blessings by reaching out to someone who's struggling to see theirs. Perhaps it's in the form of an encouraging phone call and prayer, or an in-person conversation wrapped in a warm hug. Maybe there's extra room at your Thanksgiving table. Celebrate Thanksgiving by reaching out to others.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Brian Fisher here. Support for impeachment is dropping like a rock. What will corner Democrats do? Obama doesn't see any Democrat candidate he likes, especially Joe Biden. Things get even worse for Hunter Biden. Mark Levin calls on Adam Schiff to release his phone calls and texts. And you will love how the president pardons the turkeys this year. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, you all are already getting on the lines. I appreciate that. I'll come right to you. I think what I'm going to do in order to get to the lines quickly is after each break, I'm going to read a section of George Washington's proclamation. Here's just the first paragraph, what remains of the first paragraph. And you listen to this and tell me that somebody with any sense, with any honesty, who knows anything about our history could say, well, we're not a Judeo-Christian nation. We're not a Christian nation. I mean, you gotta have BBs for brains to believe that. You really do. I think it was Kirby Anderson, just that quote from Daniel Webster. It's just another one of thousands you could find making clear that our founding fathers were seeking to establish a godly nation because of that they thought that that was essential to being a free nation. But here's what George Washington also says, and the Congress is involved in this, by the way. He says, "And whereas both houses of Congress have requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness." Now, folks, that's after the Constitution has been passed. That's after we have become a constitutional republic. The ACLU, hearing that today, would say that George Washington was a low-down, dirty dog for daring to suggest that we actually thank God. Well, That's why the ACLU needs to find someplace else to go. I mean, you know, they just need to, because they have no understanding whatsoever of who we are as a country and what our background is. I've said many times, how can it be unconstitutional to pray in a country where the founding fathers prayed to pass the Constitution that we now live under? That doesn't make any sense, folks. Well, at any rate, you know what? I said I was going to share my testimony, but since you all are on the line, I don't want to keep you waiting. I'm going to come right to you all, and I'll intersperse my little testimonies of the things I'm grateful for as we go. So let's go to Cindy in Tennessee. Cindy, you're on. Welcome. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hi. Thank you. The first thing that the most important thing that I'm thankful for is that Jesus saved me and that I live Amen. In a country where I can talk about him freely. I really thank God for that. But I wanted also to remind your listeners that this Thanksgiving, for them to remember the widows in your churches who have no family, to not shut them out, but maybe call them up or have them over for dinner or visit them in the nursing home or whatever. I just wanted to remind the listeners of that. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you, Cindy. Thank you for that reminder. And I would broaden it and say the widows, anybody who is alone this Thanksgiving season or alone during the holidays in church, if you know someone who doesn't have anyone, it'd be great to invite them to share dinner with your family or to share some of the weekend with your family so that people don't have to be alone. So thank you for that reminder, Cindy. And so Cindy took exactly what I was going to say. My first expression of thanksgiving goes to the fact that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for my sins and to be my Savior and to be my Lord. That is the thing that above all I am most grateful for, that I am a heaven-bound saint, not a hell-bound sinner, not by works of righteousness that I have done, but by grace I have been saved through faith, and that not of myself. It is the gift of God, so that I cannot boast. And that is the thing that I am most grateful for. I've been saved since December 22nd of 1976. I'm coming up to my 43rd year of walking with the Lord. So, and it's interesting, you know, I was saved on the 200th, not exactly the 200th, but in the 200th year of our country's existence, 1776. I'm sorry, not 200th year. What is it, 220th year? What did I say? 70? No, yes, right, 200th year. 200th year. 76, not 96, 76. Well, anyway, let's go right back to the lines, okay? Let's go to Mary of Kansas. Mary, you're on. Welcome.
Well, I have to admit that when I started losing my eyesight, I had not listened to the radio. So one good thing that came out of going blind is that I was introduced to American Family Radio, and there's a lot of good Christian people that all the way through this, from on staff, from behind and in front. So they've helped me be more aware of speaking out for Jesus and for people that are being mistreated. So that is one thankful, and I'm thankful for our president that there's 24/7 to try to protect the Christian in American society and other countries. And I also have one more thing. Let's stand in the gap and help the Salvation Army, since they have been picked on lately. If you only have an extra $5, give it to your local Salvation Army, because that's what I did this morning. And told them I was sorry I had forgotten about them for years. So thank you, and happy
Amen.
Thanksgiving to everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. And thanks, Mary, for that reminder of the Salvation Army. Yeah, we certainly want to support the Salvation Army. It is a wonderful charity. And I want to join in with what everybody's saying about being grateful for living in a country where we can freely express our faith, where we can have a network like American Family Radio and not have Gestapo, secret police, KGB knocking on the door, the equivalent of those, knocking on the door at midnight to spirit us away because we have violated the edicts of the party. I think there are some people who would love to see that happen. because they are trying in every way they can to shut Christians up. But you know what? We will not be silent. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. Isaiah 62, and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem. And I substitute sometimes my country, our country, the United States of America, as a praise in the earth. So thank you again for that call. Let's go to Cody in Mississippi. Cody, welcome.
Hey, am I on?
Yes, you're on, Cody.
All right. I just want to thank you, first of all, EW. And, of course, the biggest Thanksgiving, you know, miracle is that Jesus came down and offered us salvation.
Amen.
I think that's the most beautiful thing. And also, I'm big into watching different apologists and everything, Frank Turek, William Lane Craig, the like. I'm thankful that although they often get kind of some heat, that we still have free speech and that, you know, we can go to college campuses and give reason to why we have faith. EW, I wanted to touch a little bit. I got a one-year-old and a newborn. I was born 2 weeks ago.
Wow, and, congratulations.
For God. Thank you very much. I'm very thankful for that as well. And we were watching a little show called Puppy Dog Pal that my one-year-old gets a kick out of, and it was a Thanksgiving episode. I thought it was interesting. It may be innocent, but I just wanted to bring this to your attention and the listeners' attention that seems that they're even taking thankfulness out of Thanksgiving, and that the little cartoons were talking about having a friendship feast as opposed to a Thanksgiving feast. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I said, wait a second. Surely they're not taking thankfulness out of Thanksgiving and just calling it friendship feast so that there's no one to thank. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, Cody, unfortunately, that's the world we live in. The secularists, you know, the Foundation for Freedom from Religion and all the secularists running around out there are constantly trying to sanitize the society of God. Just get God out. And, you know, I've said I don't like Turkey Day. I don't, you know, the implication that, you know, we were, that the pilgrims were holding Thanksgiving Day to thank the Native Americans. And we know that was a very complicated relationship. And I don't have any doubt that they were to some extent grateful for the Native Americans who did help them during a very difficult time. But these were godly people, and they were having Thanksgiving celebration to honor God. And by the way, it wasn't new when George Washington issued the first proclamation. This had been part of a tradition in our country, and it started really back in Europe. It's part of Christian tradition and practice to have days of Thanksgiving and prayer and humiliation before God to humble ourselves before Him. So, yeah, none of that surprises me. I think we're going to see probably more of it, but I am hoping that we Christians will stand up and speak up, and ultimately all this secular nonsense that is trying to change the identity of our country, because we are a Judeo-Christian country. We are rooted and grounded in that culture and perspective, and all those who are trying to change it would ultimately be their ideas, not them, but their ideas would be cast on the dung heap of human history, never to rise and trouble us again. That most people would say, well, that's stupid. We all know better than that. Of course, America comes out of a Judeo-Christian culture and background. That's what built the greatest nation on earth, those kinds of values for freedom and individual liberty and personal responsibility and so forth. So, yeah, Cody, congratulations on your new addition to the family and on what sounds like a wonderful family. And, of course, we know our responsibility is to make sure that we bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and let them know that the craziness going on in the culture is that's the culture that we are not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn,
Don Wildman.
Years ago, I heard a story I would like to pass on to you. It happened in San Francisco. There was a little boy who lived in a neighborhood near the spot on a hill where sunrise services were held each year, and on that hill was a cross. The little boy became lost one day while playing. Someone discovered the little boy crying and asked what was wrong. The police were called, and they were attempting to learn the child's name. He didn't remember his last name, so that was no help. Then they tried asking him where he lived, on what street. He didn't know that either, but he did remember the hill with the cross. So he stopped crying long enough to say to the officers, "If you'll take me to the hill with the cross on it, I can find my way home." Perhaps the story never happened. I don't really know, but does it matter? The great truth of the story cannot be missed. If you'll take me to the hill with a cross on it, I can find my way home. How great has been the influence of the cross in our world? The cross is a symbol, an eternal symbol, of something good in the heart of God. It is a symbol of sacrifice. In an age of terrible gluttony and greed, it does us good to look back at the cross. There was no greed there, no effort to grab, cheat, beat. No, the cross is a symbol of something noble, a sacrifice, which literally knew no limits. Not only that, but the cross is a symbol of dedication to a great cause. And that's something desperately needed in our own age, an age so filled with shallowness of purpose. There was no turning back in the cross. The one who died there had grabbed hold of a great cause, a cause which would lift men's sight and save their souls. He was dedicated to a great cause, the one who died there, a cause greater than himself. Or again, the cross is a symbol of a great love, so great, in fact, that the human mind has never been able to fully comprehend it. Such a love had never existed before, and never again would the world witness such a love. How differently men would react to that love. Some would spit on it, some would stab it, some would make fun of it, and some would come under its spell, their lives suddenly taking on a whole new perspective in light of that love. Some of us may have lost our way on the road of life. Like the little boy, we're frightened. We're trying so hard and in so many ways to find our home. We search for some direction in wealth, thinking that it will guide us. Or we feel our way along with the use of drugs or alcohol, hoping they will give us direction. Or we seek to find ourselves in our jobs, or in 101 other ways. We are searching to find our way back home. If you will take me to the hill with the cross on it, I can find my way home. The cross has always pointed one to God. The cross still gives one a sense of direction. If, somehow, we can find our way back to the cross, then we can find our way home, back to God, the giver and preserver of life. So when you become lost, remember the cross.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And we're talking about Thanksgiving, what we're thankful for today. And I appreciate your calls. Keep calling in because I want to hear more from you. I'm using as a backdrop the first Thanksgiving proclamation in the history of our country, issued by President George Washington on October 3rd, 1789, scheduled to be celebrated on the 26th day of November. Here's the second paragraph of that proclamation. It says, "Now therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us. Wow. Can you imagine a president issuing a proclamation like that today? Well, I'll tell you what. If there's any president who would, this president would. I'll tell you. But I am just so inspired. And folks, this is why I love America, because of things like that, I've just read you a portion of this proclamation by George Washington. There's more to come. The number again is 888-589-8840. What are you thankful for? Let's go back to the lines. We've got Bob from Texas. Bob, welcome. You're on.
Yes, I am so thankful for the Bible. Unfortunately, it seems like it takes wars for anybody to pay attention to it. You just quoted Washington and his proclamation. FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, issued a proclamation the week of Thanksgiving in 1942. Mm-hmm. So we're at to have the week of Thanksgiving as National Bible Week, and nobody knows it. I guess we need a war to wake people up and pay attention to National Bible Week. So I was hoping you might know something about it. There were a couple guys on the floor, or several guys on the floor of the House on Monday, that were repeating the importance of the Bible. It's like everything to America.
Franklin Roosevelt. I'll tell you, when Franklin Roosevelt, you know, here again, this is the difference between where we are now and where we were then. Because, look, there were differences between Republicans and Democrats. Of course, since the parties formed, there have been differences. But we came from a basically similar foundation and framework. And now what we have is one party trying to hold to traditional biblical values and another party working very, very hard to reject them. And that's what makes communication so difficult. That's what makes the division so deep. You can have division over policies and practices, and those divisions can always be resolved when you are coming from the same orientation. But when you're coming from two very different orientations, when one's coming from Madison and the other's coming from Marx, how do you work that out? That, folks, that's like a Cold War. I didn't know about the proclamation by Franklin Delano Roosevelt on Bible Week, but I will look into it, because that kind of thing fascinates me. And I tell you the truth, doesn't surprise me, though, because that's who we are as a country. And these leftists are simply trying to deny that. I mean, today, the ACLU and the Foundation for Freedom from Religion would go crazy and would be suing everybody trying to stop any such proclamation from ever being heard. So we are in a very different place in our country today. The Constitution hasn't changed, but the attitudes that people have toward God has changed, and they're trying to make the Constitution reflect that, when in fact the preamble to the Constitution says it is written to secure the blessings of liberty, and we know that blessings and liberty come from Almighty God. So the Constitution, right in the preamble, acknowledges indirectly, perhaps, doesn't mention God by name, but acknowledges God, because blessings only come from him. And the founder said that liberty comes from him. So there you have it. Okay, let's keep going. We've got, thank you, Bob, for the call. Appreciate that. We've got Cheryl in Mississippi. Cheryl, welcome.
Hello.
Yes, Cheryl, you're on.
Reverend Bishop Jackson. I want to thank you for your program. I'm thankful for your wonderful program. I'm thankful for the proclamation that George Washington issued that you just read. Thank you so much for all you do. I wanted to comment briefly on the lady that called a few callers ago about being blind.
Yes.
I was up late last night, this kind of fits, listening to American Family Radio because we had storms in our area. I live in the Brandon area, Mississippi area. And the person that does the program, Intercessory, I don't know his name. Anyway, he was talking about this story of Fannie Mae Crosby, who was blind. Her testimony was, had she not been blind, she would not have been able to see.
Hmm. Wow.
You see?
Yes. Yes.
She could see without her eyes. She would not be able, she said if she had not been blinded, she did not believe she would have been able to see all the things that God wanted her to see. I think there's a lot of power in that story.
Amen. Amen, Cheryl. Cheryl, thank you so much. And you're right. You know, Jesus said he came to give sight to the blind. And I really believe that giving people physical sight, which was a miracle that Jesus did on the earth, I really believe that that was meant to underscore and symbolize a much more profound miracle, which is giving people who are spiritually blind spiritual sight. You know, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. But what? Was blind, but now I see. And because in eternity, there's not going to be any blindness in the eternal kingdom of Almighty God. There's no blindness in heaven, physical blindness. And so a person can be healed of blindness here on earth, and we have technology that is doing that to some extent. But if they remain spiritually blind, they are eternally lost and eternally blind. So thank you, Mary, for reminding us of the deeper truth involved in that. And I hope that is an encouragement to the woman who called about her sight, because she said she is now seeing what she didn't see before. So praise God for that. Thank you for the call, Cheryl. Let's go to Mary in Louisiana. Mary, welcome.
I'm in Iowa, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mary. I misread. You're in Iowa. Thank you.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Yep, I'm in River City here, you know, the great New Square type place where they made the movie. It's a great little city to live in.
Ah, okay, wonderful. I think I was out there not too long ago.
Oh, well, that's great. I just want to first thank you so much for your ministry and for AFR and, you know, just the amazing nuggets of wisdom and blessings that we get from programs like this. And I just want to stay on the fact that the socialists up and what the, you know, the government is trying to do, or the, not our government, but the Democrats are trying to do, is like, I feel like, well, why don't you go leave America if you like socialism so much, and go live in a socialist country, and then come back in a year and see what your opinion is. See, I really think that it has a lot to do with power. You know, they want to be in power, and they're willing to sacrifice everything this country stands for and was, you know, built upon for their, you know, to be in power. And I just feel like, you know, I just pray that God will open the eyes of all the people so they can see what is going on and see that, you know, we need to follow God and His rule of law and
Amen.
The Constitution.
Amen. Got to take a break, but Mary, you're right. I agree with you. Back in a moment.
And here she is, laying flat on her back, and we would hear her praising.
Tricia Goyer on Focus on the Family Minute.
We would hear her singing praises to Jesus, so she couldn't remember that she had a broken back. She couldn't remember that she couldn't get out of bed, but she remembered to praise God. She remembered to be thankful. We'd hear her praying for all her family members. And that makes me think about, even with the dementia, even though she couldn't remember she just had breakfast, she remembered every word to those hymns. She remembered scriptures that she was quoting, and all those years of that praise being hardwired into her really made an impact. So this was not something we expected in the year, but that was a perfect example of, we could either hardwire grumbling into our lives and our hearts, or we could hardwire praise into our hearts.
You'll hear more from Tricia today at familyminute.org.
Hey, WEFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more.
This is Penny Weaver from Decatur, Illinois. Last year, we had the privilege of J.J. Jasper as our speaker. We had our largest fundraising banquet ever.
Information on JJ's availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Hey, I love that you're saying Merry Christmas. But what's Christmas all about?
Oh, man, it's about presents and family and love and...
Well, yeah, but it's really about Jesus. He came for you. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, man.
Wear and share the AFA Christmas button to remind people about Jesus. He came for you. Visit afastore.net to order in packs of 10. Order before December 12th to make sure you get your buttons before Christmas. That's afastore.net.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. If you're a pastor's wife, come be encouraged and renewed as we talk about the challenges and stresses unique to pastors and their wives.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming October 8th through 10th to Linden Valley Conference Center in Linden, Tennessee. The retreat is 3 days and two nights of relaxation and building relationships. Our hosts will be Pastor Bert Harper, Director of Marriage, Family, and Pastoral Ministries, and co-host of Exploring the Word on AFR, and his wife, Jan. And our special speakers will be J.J. Jasper and Abraham Hamilton III. Lodging, meals, and materials are included in your registration. But hurry, space is limited. Register today by calling 800-326-4543, extension 300. That's 800-326-4543, extension 300, or at repairingthefoundations.net.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. We'd love to see you there.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number here is 888-589-8840. I want to hear your testimonies. I want to hear what you're thankful for in this Thanksgiving season. And let me just say, because one caller mentioned just having a child 2 weeks ago, as a matter of fact. And I should say, I'm thankful for my salvation. Obviously, I'm thankful for living in a country where we are free to talk about the gospel or talk about anything we want to talk about. I mean, folks, I don't think most Americans have a clue just how blessed we are to have that alone. And to have it really, I shouldn't say it's never been questioned by government, because we did go through the Alien and Sedition Act with John Adams, but that was a long time ago, and I think everybody knows that was a mistake. And he was mainly trying to shut down any opposition to what he was trying to do in terms of working through our relationship with France. And he didn't like the people who were opposing his approach. And so, you know, they were able to pass this Alien and Sedition Act, which, you know, got a couple people locked up for things that they said. So here again, I've said before, we haven't done it perfectly. But folks, we've done it head and shoulders better than any other nation that's ever existed, because that didn't last long. And I don't think there's ever been anything like that since. So I'm grateful to live in this nation of freedom and opportunity. I say our culture is becoming increasingly totalitarian, but that's not by government edicts so much as it is sometimes in local governments. When leftists have control of them, they will act like little totalitarian dictator. Act like dictators or totalitarian leaders. But I'm grateful for the fact that I come on the radio every day. I can go pretty much anywhere I want to go, say whatever I feel is on my heart to say. And by the way, folks, that goes for people who don't agree with me. I support their right. You know, remember Voltaire's comment, which used to be the byword here in the United States of America? I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. You know, you don't hear that anymore, do you? And you certainly don't hear that coming from the left, because the left says, if I don't like what you say, I'll defend to the death the right to stop you from speaking. That's their attitude. So I'm grateful for that, but I'm grateful for my family, too. Look, I've been married for 49 years, folks. Next year's will be Next year, my wife and I will have been married 50 years. I can barely believe it. And we knew each other several years before we got married. So we've known each other for well over a half century. Two or three years over a half a century. And I'm grateful for having a wonderful wife. We've got wonderful children. They're productive. They're bright. They're gainfully employed. They're living decent lives. They're self-sufficient. We've got a great deal to be thankful to God for. And here again, that's just I could go on and on from there, and I know you all can too. The number is 888-589-8840. Let me finish up the Washington Proclamation, and I'll come right to your calls. He also says, this is the final, this is the concluding paragraph of George Washington's proclamation, the 3rd of October, 1789. He says, and also that we may unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions. I mean, you hear that? George Washington is saying, we ought to beseech God to forgive us for our sins. I mean, wow. Oh, it's one of the reasons why I love George Washington. And he goes on to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue. And he's talking about Christianity there. And the increase of science among them and us. And generally, this is his concluding line, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows best. I mean, the President of the United States acknowledging that God knows what is best for us. Oh, my goodness. Folks, today? Oh, there are a lot of places. In fact, I think you'd get kicked out of the Democrat Party if you proposed saying something like that. Remember, they kicked God off the platform. And by the way, not to make this about party, there's some Republicans who wouldn't like it either, you know. But they'd have a hard time saying much about it because there's so many Christians who affiliate with the Republican Party because of their traditional values platform. All right, let's go back to the lines. Let's see who's been waiting. Gary in Mississippi. Gary, welcome. Gary, you're on.
Hey, Bishop, I just wanted to bless and give you blessings to you and your family.
Thank you, Gary.
It's amazing. You've been married 50 years and your wife hadn't kicked you out.
Listen, God is still working miracles, brother.
Amen. Just, you know, I was just listening to your second day I've listened to your program, and I just want to thank you for being a man of God. For not watering down the truth, for speaking the truth and God and giving him all the glory. I myself, I'm a pastor. I surrendered to the ministry when I was 53. God chased me for a long time. But I was shot, cut, stabbed, paralyzed from the waist down, had ulcerative colitis, spinal meningitis, and dead on the table for 2 minutes. And that was before I was 21. And still thumbed my nose at God.
Wow.
So he saved me at 27. I ran till I was 53, and I just thank God every day for his mercy and his kindness.
Amen. Wow. Gary, God bless you, man. What a powerful testimony. You know, and this is why I talk about loving people who don't agree with us, and they think we're just throwing out rhetoric, but we love them because we didn't agree with God, and he loved us anyway. He chased us anyway. He wanted us anyway. And that's the way we're supposed to deal with other human beings. We love them anyway. God wasn't pleased with our lives before we came to know him. He wasn't happy with the way we were living or thinking or acting, but he loved us anyway. And he loved us into his righteousness. And so we've got to do the same thing for others. Wow, man. That old song, Amazing Grace, will always be my song of praise. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Thank you for the call, Gary. Let's go to Frank in Kentucky. Frank, welcome.
Yes, Bishop. I'm my call and say happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Same to you. Thank you.
And also, I'm thankful about living in this country. People that hate this country, I can't never figure out why they stick around. They should just get the nearest plane and leave. And so I just I'm grateful to be living in this country and grateful to be born again of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I thank God for my family.
Amen. Frank, thank you for the call. I couldn't agree with you more. Look, there are airplanes and boats that'll get you out of here quick. And for those people who really hate this country, why do you stay? I mean, when Andrew Cuomo said, you know, criticized President Trump for saying, make America great again. And Andrew Cuomo, a governor from a prominent American family, says, well, it was never that great. Well, why don't you go someplace that is? I mean, they're busy telling people who they don't want in New York. And yet he won't even acknowledge the blessing of this country. I say, you know, go somewhere else. I mean, it's very, very simple. This is a free nation. You can leave anytime you want. And some of us would, you know, sign the invitation to have you go. In fact, I've had some people say, I'll help pay for the ticket, you know, to send you away. But for those of us who love this country, we're not going anywhere, are we? Okay, let's go to Teddy in Texas. Teddy, welcome. Teddy, you're on.
Hello?
Yes, sir, you're on.
I am thankful for the founding fathers that made this one nation under God. Their foresight that allowed our country to still be what it is. I am thankful to my Lord Jesus who saved me and gave me my precious bride and 13 grandchildren.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Congratulations.
Oh, God is awesome all the time if we'll just wake up and pay attention to what he's trying to tell us.
Amen, Teddy. Thank you for the call, Teddy. And nowhere has he poured out blessings more bountifully than he has upon this country. And congratulations, Teddy, on 13 grandchildren. God bless you. Let's see if we can get Andrew in here. Andrew from Virginia, from my home state here. Andrew, welcome. Andrew, you're on. Andrew, are you there?
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to first start off by saying that I'm extremely thankful for my family and God, of course, and the land that we live on.
Amen.
And I'd just like to take a moment for your listeners to just, you know, bask in that and rejoice in the fact that we're all different. We all think differently and say things that we may not or, you know, may not want to mean, but we do. And, you know, it's great to be here.
Amen. Well, Andrew, none of us is perfect, and we're not always going to say it right. And we're not always going to do it right. But the thing is, at least we know what is right. God gives us a standard. And when we fall short of that, we seek his forgiveness and ask for his restoration. And we set out to do better by the help of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. I mean, it's, you know what, I haven't said this, but I'll say this as we close. Aren't you grateful for knowing who you are and where you came from and where you're going? Because, you know, part of the problem with the world is they're confused about that. They think they ascended from a monkey. We know better. We know we are the creation of Almighty God in his image and in his likeness. And folks, because of that, because we know him and love him, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.